listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Hello, hello. This is Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton.
Wait, we're back to the pause. Are we really?
You know, I was kind of feeling it. I feel kind of slopey.
We're reverting back to bad behavior, folks. That's what it's all about here in this here United States, bad behavior. So this is the Inclusive AF podcast, and we have some amazing guests that are joining us today. This is a little bit of a crossover. So Jackie and I both were able to join their podcast, and now they are joining us. So Wendy and John, I'm going to have you go first, introduce yourself, and then we'll skip over to John. So welcome, Wendy.
Well, thank you. So excited to be here and chatting with you both. And of course, always love chatting with John. I'm Wendy Daly. I'm a talent acquisition professional, been in the business a long time, have seen a lot of stuff. but I enjoy podcasting, blogging, helping out my daughter's Girl Scout troops. And my latest and greatest adventure is boozy ice cream. So,
Oh yeah, we will be discussing that because I've been seeing a lot on your socials about that. I'm like, we gotta go road trip.
Yeah. Jackie, road trip to South Dakota. Come on in.
And John, welcome.
Thank you. I'm John Thurmond. And for those of you that don't know us, Wendy and I are not married.
Yeah, exactly.
Put that out there. We've been doing this long enough. We think most people know, but never sure. An HR professional. It's been at this longer than I want to admit. Podcasting for longer than I want to admit. I got back into professional wrestling during COVID, and that has become something very, very important to me. And I'm collecting wrestling cards. I got a problem. I got a real problem. Okay. But I'm having fun and I'm staying out of trouble, but I'm really glad to be here. We always love having people like you and Jackie on the show and having the conversations we've been able to have, but then it's fun to come to another show where we don't have to prepare. I really appreciate that. Yeah. So really,
well, don't really worry, John, we don't prepare either.
That is okay.
Can you believe it's not scripted?
That is awesome. That's the best line so far.
So I know that we got in deep on romance novels when I came over to visit you all on your podcast. But John, I want to dig in on this professional wrestling piece first. When you said that at first, I was thinking, wait, you're wrestling? Like, that's amazing.
I've heard that before. I am large, but I don't wrestle. I'm not physically capable of doing the things that these performers are able to do.
Okay, so when you say you're following wrestling, collecting cards, so who is your favorite wrestler?
Okay, currently it's Asuka, who is a Japanese female wrestler who is in the WWE.
Okay.
She is an incredible businesswoman who has a background in graphic design and started wrestling young, actually took a break, had her child, got back into wrestling, has been wrestling now for, gosh, like 16 or 17 years, and has gotten to the WWE, which is the platform to be on, but has her own YouTube channel. She's just awesome. And she wears crazy get-up outfits. She's incredibly entertaining. And she spits green mist, which is the sign of the coolest.
Wow.
That has been a standard of many Japanese wrestlers over the year. If the green mist will blind you, the black mist may kill you. So you got to be careful. But yeah, for sure. It's Asuka. I just adore her in every way possible.
So I have a story for you, John, that I think you'll appreciate. So the neighborhood that I used to live in, I would go walking with, in the mornings, cause it's Arizona. So it's always the mornings cause it gets hot. And I was walking one day and there were two women in front of me. One was pushing a baby carriage and the other one was like, turned to her and she was pregnant. And I noticed they both had very long, dark hair. And then the other one turned and she was also pregnant. And I realized it was the Bella twins. They were walking in my neighborhood while they both were pregnant, and I was like, so I just went up. I was like, hey, I love you guys. You're awesome. And I was like, and I'm not a stalker. Bye.
Now, did you know them from wrestling or did you know them from Total Divas?
From Total Divas, let's be
fair enough.
Yeah. That's the extent of the wrestling that I can watch, I think, is Total Divas, where they have, you know, little clips and like when they're training and whatnot. But yeah, big fan of theirs. So I also though like most of the divas, just because I think, you know, they have done a phenomenal job of just highlighting just women in wrestling, period. So anyway, sorry, totally off topic.
Yeah, you said there's no topics and no sub. No, right. Here. It's okay.
It's really not what we want. It's working exactly the way that we built it.
This is our plan always. Always our plan. So, Wendy, let's talk about your ice cream for a moment.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So, where, how, why, all the things.
When?
Well,
deliver?
I don't deliver yet. Super, super small scale, like farmer's market here in Brookings, South Dakota, with, you know, 10 other booths. So, but it started on a lazy Saturday afternoon. My husband and I were at the local brewery that we love, and they have a fantastic coffee stout. It's my favorite beer that they do. It's nice. It's not overly heavy. And we were sitting there drinking it, and my husband's like, I wonder if you could make ice cream out of this. Hello, Pinterest. So found a couple of recipes, did a few things, and came up with some recipes. And it was, I mean, this was definitely hobby. I do not want to be an entrepreneur. This is not my dream to work for myself. I'm a terrible boss. But I started making more and doing different flavors. People would ask. And so, we had, during COVID, they had a party for their regulars. So it was kind of, you know, a few of us could come at a time type of thing. And so I'm like, well, I'll bring my ice cream. And the next day they were pinging me saying, you need to sell this. Everyone was saying, you need to sell it. You need to sell it. So, started looking into it. Took about a year to figure out where I can make it and, mm-hmm. you know, can I sell ice cream with beer in it? Yes, you can without a liquor license. It just has to be low content. So it's less than 0.05% alcohol, which, hey, did you know you can use geometry when you're an adult? Because that's how you figure it out. It's all
right,
you know, it's all percentage. And so now I'm having fun coming up with different flavors. So I recently they have a salted caramel ale. So I mixed that with some Dutch processed chocolate, made a chocolate caramel ice cream. And then I also made a coconut rum ice cream, and I've put those into a single cup. So you can have like a Girl Scout caramel delight cookie in a cup. I do a thin mint. I've got a lot of Girl Scout flavors right now, mm-hmm. for obvious reasons. But they also do sour beers, fruity sour beers. Their recent one is a Skittles sour, which if you like Skittles, this beer is phenomenal. So I made a Skittles sherbet out of their sour ice cream. And I'm pretty happy with it.
Awesome. How fun. So, and like such a departure from your day job. So that's always a good time. Like
you're exactly.
checking things out, doing something different. Right on. Right on. So World of Talent Acquisition and HR.
We're going to talk about that now.
Sorry. Transitioning from ice cream and wrestling.
I'm hungry and thirsty. Like I fully am like, ooh, I should go get a Corona.
Could you make ice cream from Corona? Let's talk about it. I feel like you could do it with like a lime, maybe, you know, like a lime sherbet, Corona lime or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, solving all the world's problems. That's what we do here on Inclusive AF. Yeah. Solve all the world's problems. Everyone just needs some Corona ice cream or sherbet. John's like, why did I agree to this?
He's like, what's happening? Well,
interestingly enough, if you're familiar with Yingling Brewery in Pennsylvania, the world, you know, the nation's mm-hmm. oldest brewery, you know that they have relatives that have Yingling ice cream. They don't make a beer one, but it's the Yingling family. It's cousins or someone in Pennsylvania is yelling at the podcast right now saying, John, you fool, you don't know the connection. But there is some connection between Yingling ice cream and Yingling beer.
They're like third cousin.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
We'll have to look that up. We'll have to check that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm from Ohio, but we spent our summers in Pennsylvania. So Yuengling is very much a part of my family and is very important to all of us. So to find out there's an ice cream, I'm texting my siblings right now. Thanks. I'll be right back, guys. Jackie, can you keep going?
Yeah, exactly. So where were we?
So
love it.
Would love to just talk a little bit about kind of what we're seeing in the world of HR. So first off, I'll ask this question. Are you exhausted?
What's the name of this show?
Yeah.
Exhausted AF. Yeah.
I can. Yeah.
Subtitle this one, that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But thank you for asking.
Okay. I think what I'm hearing, and I think Jackie and I talk about this often, is just HR right now is really hard, whether you're in talent acquisition or any of the kind of centers of excellence or whatever you want to call them. We have not had a reprieve since 2016, I don't think, actually, because I mean, everything has been a hit, from benefits, from how we handle certain things that maybe we handled differently prior to that, etc. But would love to hear what good stuff is going on in your world right now from a work and we don't have all day, folks, so I'm going to need some knobs.
We'll wait. It's fine.
You know,
I should have prepped you with this question. I didn't know it's going to be that tough.
From my perspective, I think that I'm at least seeing more of a willingness to do different things, to try different things. So, we're going beyond what's worked in the past. We're trying to figure out, what can we do that's maybe a little bit different? What are the competitors not offering? If we're not going to bring our wages exactly to what they're offering, when you're competing with the Amazons of the world who move kind of quick on some of that stuff, we're not going to move that fast. Not everyone can move that fast when it comes to base salaries, but what can you move fast on? Where can we offer something that someone else isn't, so that we can stand apart? And then do it consistently. I work for a very large healthcare system. So trying to get one part of the organization to do what the other part of the organization is doing can be tricky.
So if we have listeners out that, that are listening to this podcast, can you give them any ideas or any piece of advice of things that you've seen that are working? Not to, sell your secret sauce in any way of what you're doing to recruit folks, but what cool things are you trying that are working?
Right now, so healthcare system. So obviously always trying to get nurses to come in and, sign with us. So we're obviously trying to get them earlier while they're in school. But one project I'm working on right now that I'm kind of excited about is we're trying to figure out how can we pay them to study for their national exam. Can we put some dollars behind giving them time to study, giving them prep time? Law firms do it. Why can we not that we have to give them 6 months, but can we give them a week? Can we give them a few days and bring them in and help them study for a few days? So I think, that's one thing we're looking at. We're also looking at, how can we create an incentive system that's across any incentive that we do, not just referral bonuses or sign-on bonuses, some of those traditional ones, but can we give somebody some sort of referral incentive when somebody applies, when they share that referral online? Again, just trying to come up with different ways to get word out that these jobs exist and helping our employees understand what our process is, because for the most part, they apply for maybe one, two jobs while they're with us. If they get promoted, their supervisor's probably helping them. So they don't know what the process looks like. Do we? No, we probably don't either sometimes.
That's part of the fun, right?
That's part of the fun. Ooh,
just surprise. Go with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds right. Sure.
Oh, that supervisor did what? And now they're gone. Okay. How do we fix that? Yay.
That's awesome. Well, I love that. I think being creative is really helping. And Jackie, I know you all are doing some creative stuff as well at Textio. I think that's the piece that is really helping, is what are you doing to stand out as a, you know, kind of a culture of choice, not just a, you know, a brand, but what are you doing that's kind of highlighting the good stuff of your organization? So that's awesome. Thank you. And John, what about you? What's awesome in your world?
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
I work in the construction industry, which tends to be fairly conservative, staid. It's hard work. Particularly 80% of my folks work in the field, literally digging ditches and doing that type of construction work. What's been really interesting is to see the shift when it comes to recognizing that we need to hire talent and develop them and not necessarily just find people that have the skill coming in the door. That goes for construction as well as our engineering business as well. Looking at different pools of talent that we can say, hey, these people have skill sets that are comparable and we can take them and start training them in what we do to get to be able to do it and say, this is the path. It's going to take, you know, 6 months to do this and 12 months to do this. And in 2 years, you've got this. If I can tell that story well and get somebody interested and excited, that's been a really cool thing. One of the things I'm most proud of lately is that I've started a podcast for my company about our people, where I'm interviewing our people, talk about their careers. Why are they here? Why do they stay? Is it recruiting? Sure, it's recruiting. It's absolutely recruiting facing, but it's also a great opportunity for those people to share a story in a way they haven't done before. Most people I talk to are fascinated with podcasting. A lot of them listen to them. They've never done anything like this, you know? And so here I come in, I've got the gear, you know, I set it up, I do it. And then I put this thing out and they share it with family and friends and how cool is this? That's been incredibly exciting and non-traditional, particularly in our space. You know, I know a lot of companies have podcasts. Most construction companies, at least in what we do, they don't. Something different. So that, while I may be exhausted, at least I'm getting to do things that I didn't necessarily think we would be doing even a year ago. I did an internal podcast during COVID where I read hand sanitizing recipes. Didn't plan to do that either. But yeah, lot you know, good things. And it's been fun to see leadership step up and start looking at and saying, okay, yeah, we're going to go try this and see what happens where we didn't do that before.
I'm so glad you said that. I was telling somebody, like, I was like, the algorithm, it's great that it helps you find people, but it's really just helping you find burnt out people. You can't find, it doesn't know, and it'll be very difficult to teach the algorithm that somebody who's been a stay-at-home parent with two children is probably a pretty good project manager or an entry-level project manager or knowing how to do multiple tools or potentially being an office manager. It doesn't show you that. It does. The algorithm doesn't allow you to see potential. And then to take that one step further, where there could be potential interest because of the different communities that we can recruit in, especially if you're in a distributed remote or hybrid scenario. And I'm glad to hear what you say. I like that podcast idea. I mean, I already, you know, it's going to hurt my reputation though, because I'm always saying I'm too busy. If I start another podcast, I might get fired. Like,
by me. Fired by me.
That too, yeah. That too.
I will tell you the most flattering part was my VP approached me about doing it because he does listen to Social Hour, has listened to Social Hour in the past, knows what we're doing and recognizes that, hey, you seem to understand how this stuff works and you're good, pretty good at it. So, you know, he came to me and said, we want to try something different and you like doing it. Would you? Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's see what happens. And it's, we have just started. I think I'm putting out my third episode this week, but it's one of those things where it's just, it's something different and exciting. And I love the fact that we're promoting our people externally, telling their story and recognizing, because everybody's got a story to tell, and they love doing it, particularly when you can say, you've never done anything like this, and you say to your friends, hey, I'm on Spotify. How cool is that? For a lot of the people that we're trying to reach, a lot of them think that's pretty damn cool.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think it is interesting because, you know, we've talked about storytelling before. And I think that, you know, from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective, you know, the stories that people tell, you start to see how different folks are, but then you also usually have those red threads that you can find. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's also almost like a recruiting tool as well of, hey, if this person does it and I look like them, talk like them, have a similar experience as them, whatever it might be, then I can do that too and be successful. And so it just, that's, I love that idea of being able to share those stories. And like you said, highlight folks that had probably never thought that they would ever be on a podcast before, which is awesome.
I love that you, and I love that your boss listens and does that too. I'm always really nervous. Like, I'm like, my boss gonna listen.
I will tell you what's great is, you know, obviously I've kept Social Hour separate from everything I do at work, and people know I do, and some people recognize I've been doing it for a while, but it's not really something that comes up a lot. What's great is with the new show, the only thing that I was requested to change was the name. Everything else was, here it is. They listened to it, said, great, change the name and we got a deal. And I was like, perfect, I'm okay with that. I was not tied to anything like that.
Well, I do have a question, because you have been sharing the knowledge, if you will, with lots of people in the HR space. What would you say is like been the biggest change from like when you first started to now? Is there anything that stands out? Like,
paper, there's been a Jackie, lot. Paper. There was a lot of paper.
There's so many papers. There's that. But what else like is significant that would you say that stands out?
Yeah, aside from paper, I think that even most recently, there's this shift from the way we've always done it. More and more people are willing to step away from that. I always hate talking about the younger generations, but separating us by generations, but I don't know if it's the younger generation or just the fact that they have access to more information, you know, mm-hmm. so I'll group us all together, you know, when we were growing up, or, you know, in our first jobs, you would just assume that's the way it always was and bosses sucked and you just had to put up with it. And now people are out there saying, no, you don't. And you know that there's more options. And I think about that a lot because, you know, I live in a small town. So my options before for jobs, if I wanted to stay in HR, were pretty slim. Now, you know, if I wanted to, I could knock, hey, Jackie, I want to come work for Texio. Can you help me find something there? And I could, you know, might be able to do it from my house. I don't know. South Dakota seems to be a place that people don't want remote workers at, but there's more options now for people to find work that they enjoy, that gives meaning to their day-to-day work. So I think that's probably one of the biggest changes that I've seen.
I think kind of to expand on what Wendy said in terms of that transparency, that in the past, companies held those secrets tight, and there's just so many ways that people can be telling the story. And so we want to make sure collectively that it's the right story, it's the appropriate story, it shines the best light on you that you can. And so I think it's definitely changed in that respect, in terms of how open and free the communication is, and that recognizing that when things are not so great somewhere, that people are pinging on that, and it can really damage reputation and ability to do things. I think that's been a big difference. And I think for me, particularly once I got involved with social media, you know, I worked way back, I worked for a Fortune 200 company where I knew the HR people there. That was it. I wasn't connected. I may go to a local HR event every once in a while, but I didn't really know anybody. When I lost that job and got involved, particularly with Twitter to start, all of a sudden you're making these connections all over the world and you're figuring out that, oh wow, we're all dealing with the same shit. I'm sorry, I don't know if you put the explicit label on this or bleep it out. I think bleeping's funnier. But you know, we're all dealing with these things, but all of a sudden we had this opportunity, and particularly since starting Social Hour, somebody once said, you've got the biggest Rolodex of anybody I know, because we can contact people. You name the topic, we probably know somebody that's an expert in it. Or if they don't, if they're not, they know the person who is. And I think that's been a really amazing thing over the last many years.
Awesome. Like, I think that's a piece, like the network that you build in this community. I just had a situation last week that I had a candidate who was kind of being a little squirrely. And I said to the hiring manager, I said, it's interesting because folks don't realize how small industries and communities are until they, you know, something like this comes up. And then 5 years later, 2 years later, whatever it is down the road, they're a vendor, they're a customer, they're a whatever. And so that network of community that you can build and have success with and be able to really leverage throughout the years is such a huge thing. And I think that's one of the pieces that I love as well about our HR community, is that we are all here to help each other out. And it is a, hey, John, do you know anyone who does this? Or, hey, Wendy, do you know anyone who does that? And, you know, yeah, here are five different people that you could reach out to, which I truly appreciate. That has always been really, I think, just kind of special.
Well, and friendships that we've had for so long, I think, is amazing through multiple jobs, you know, and I think that it has come full circle. I think I've been starting to work with an account manager at a tech firm who was my first account manager, my first recruiting job that I ever had. And we've just stayed in contact all this time. And that's been a benefit, you know, to be able to have that level of trust. And I think it's also important when we know how HR was before versus now, we know how that game is played. And the fact that when you are within communities, and it's not just like our friends, it just seems to be a common thread when you share with other HR professionals, like we know those stories and we kind of have that empathy that we can share with each other. Because it's not easy.
No, it's not. And I think that's been the good thing too, is we've been able to come together and understand we're not in it alone.
Yes.
Which before that, you know, I know a lot of folks talked about how, you know, you'd lurk on Twitter with the HR community groups and you're like, oh, well, no one cares what I have to say. And you realize, oh, I do know what I'm talking about. And people do care a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think that's also the expertise, because I think the folks coming in, so I'm hiring a recruiter right now. And I grew up in recruiting and then switched over to more generalist HR business partner and then kind of moved up the ranks. But talking to like fresh out of college recruiters or folks that are like maybe have had a year or two of working as a recruiter, it's always so fascinating to me because it is that evolution of how things have changed and how things have stayed the same. But it's also bringing them into that community to say, here are the folks you should reach out to, here are the folks you need to know and listen to and all of those things. So it is, I think that part's fun as well. DEI. So I was going to say, I was debating whether I want to go here or not. I'm going to go somewhere. So I want to talk about social media, HR and social media, John. I think this is a very,
what do you want to talk about?
So please note this episode won't be coming out for a few weeks. However, I think it's just a good lesson. And as an HR person, what you should and should not do on social media, or how you should interact with folks on social media. So I'll open it up there and kind of see where we go. So John, do you want to share?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'd love to share.
Okay. You don't have to name names.
No, I won't. But so look, let's play the cards on the table. I'm a straight white male in my late 40s. I'm also morbidly obese. It's fact, right? I have been really fortunate over the years. I know people talk about these things. I'm not stupid, but I also recognize that I work in a community that's primarily female, right? Like I was a public school teacher. That was heavily female. HR I got a guy out here, and I know a lot of people, when I first started in the business, I worked for a lot of women, and some of my friends just, they couldn't get over that. And I'm like, it's just how it is, right? Like, I don't know. To me, it was not anything. I say all that to say that I have been very fortunate. I've tried to help people where I can that are not as situated as well as I am. So for the first time that I'm aware of, that I know of, in my years of doing Twitter, which is like 10 or 11, I got fat shamed today. And today is Star Wars Day. So may the fourth be with you, even though it's 2 weeks later when the show comes out. But I was fat shamed based on a caricature of me or an avatar from a 80s podcast I do. And interestingly enough, it's another HR professional that decided to take that avatar and make a joke about it's anti-diet day. It's not even that funny of a joke, if you think about it. I made a comment back to him like, hey, man, like, why are you trying to fat shame me? That's just silly, whatever. And the response was, well, I'm fat too. And you put something out like that, you're going to get a reaction. Well, okay. I didn't put it out to say, hey, make fun of the fat guy, which you can make fun of me all you want. Cause you know what? I don't fucking care. I've got a lovely wife. I have two beautiful children. Everybody's well situated. I got a good job. I've had this amazing podcast with this amazing co-host that's with me today. I've got friends. I've been part of this HR community for a long time. And so for one piece of shit, or excuse me, I shouldn't say that, for one misinformed jackass to put that out there, it's just sad because in their Twitter profile, it says they're an HR professional. So if they're making fun of another HR professional about their weight, what do you think they're doing in their office or remotely or what? I don't know what their situation is. It was just really interesting because I just expected Star Wars Day to be like, yay, Boba Fett or Mando or Grogu, or, you know, I wear an X-Wing suit in my picture. And yeah, I'm fat. I don't fucking care. Like you don't, all you do is make me laugh. It was so shocking. But the reply of, well, I'm fat and it's not personal. Then what the hell is it? Like what?
It's fully personal.
It's fully personal.
It's comical.
But it scares you. When you know these people have to work with other people, when people are HR
me. And so I plan to have this conversation not only on Twitter, I'm going to put it on LinkedIn. I'm just going to put it out there as facts because I took, you know, I have screenshots of everything. And, you know, look, it's just, it is what it is. I know people have it a hell of a lot worse than I do, right? Like I want to try to better, I think Wendy will tell you, and if any of you have listened to our show for a long time, I have grown tremendously as a person doing our show. I know I have. And part of it is because we have talked to so many amazing people that don't look like me, that don't speak like me, that don't have, I mean, we are HR peers or we have something, you know, but then it turns out we have a lot of other things in common that I would have had no idea.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.
Right. So anyway, it's an interesting exercise. The timing of the show, it was comical. Like I texted Wendy, I was like, this guy's trying to fat shame me. I was like, what the hell?
Well, and I think the piece that is, There are multiple pieces that it is unfortunate about the situation. You know, obviously the fat shaming just in and of itself is not okay. But I think it's also like, it's not a joke. Maybe if you had some sort of relationship that you guys had that banter back and forth offline or whatever, that might be something different. But sure. To do that to someone you don't know, to try and be funny, like, and I don't, it's not even that it wasn't like, It isn't funny. It isn't a joke. Like that's just a mean spirited thing to do. And I think that's a piece that to your point, as HR folks, yeah, we might have our thoughts and our beliefs about different employees and things they do or how they live their lives that we, you know, obviously are, you know, we see some of these things behind the scenes or we know stuff behind the scenes, but the judgment or the making someone feel badly about themselves or what is the point? That's the part that I just don't understand. And I think we all have in common someone that we follow, Madison Butler, who, you know, kind of makes sure that when folks do shame her or try to say something to her that's not okay, like, she has done a phenomenal job, I think, of saying, no, that it's not funny. No, it's not okay. And you're not harming me. You're harming yourself. Like, why? What's the point? So first, thank you for sharing. I appreciate you sharing that story.
Well, and again, like I said, it was the timing was just so funny, but I recognize people have so many more. This is just a blip. Right.
Right.
Like, this, I'll have forgotten it by this. Well, I'll probably remember next Star Wars Day when the memories come back. But in all seriousness, you know, we have worked so hard. Wendy and I have, with so many, with you and with Jackie and with the podcasters, the HR community, the HR social, our Twitter, you know, those people that take part in those conversations, to try to be positive, because our industry has such a poor look in so many people's cases. And unfortunately, this gentleman demonstrates that. If you look at his Twitter feed, it's just full of not necessarily fat shaming, but just stupid shit. And and you know, but I also go, oh yeah, that's why people go, well, I don't want to talk to HR, that guy's a jerk, right? So we're constantly trying to better that for our peers and ourselves. And yeah, it's a bummer. But like I said, it made me laugh, because I was so shocked that my little Twitter avatar that a friend of mine drew for me, you know, anyway, happy Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
Right.
And also with you.
This isn't right. It's not right. I have to correct my Jewish CFO all the time when he says, and also with you. And I'm like, no, we've updated it. It is now, and with your spirit. So,
oh,
hey. Oh no, we don't do that.
My church is still Lutheran. And
no,
also
not,
with you.
Not updated. Yeah. And also with you. But I think the thing that people don't understand, and I have to always keep it in mind just for myself alone, that, you know, like, you have the scary title. And with being in leadership, but HR is also a scary title. And you wonder why people don't want to fill out surveys or share anything about yourself, when if you're going to do this to somebody that you do know, so this is, that's your public persona. What are you doing behind the scenes with my personal information? And how can I know that I can trust you? Or you're really just thinking of me and looking at me on a side eye? And I think that's what is so important in the, like, we talk about it in the HR and at Textio so many times. I had somebody apply for the job, and they were like, it was the first time that they were able to pick how they identify with their gender on a job app. Like, they felt good about Textio and just going through the interview process already, because they don't have the ability to do that. And it's just sad. I think we've learned, especially within the last 2 years, of how kind of nervous, like, eggshell, how people have worked inside the office and how people have related to each other. What we identified, like, we were looking at not looking at people as whole people. And I think that's just been such, I'm so glad. I mean, none of us have the answers, but I'm glad that we have a community where we can share. But I just hate that. I'm still mad. I'll be unmad at some point, but that just makes me frustrated.
It's frustrating, but it's also, like, it's an indictment on HR. And that's also the piece that, like, to your all point, like, do better, you know?
We all know better at this point. We do.
Right. Right.
You can't, I don't think in this day and age, we can still claim ignorance.
No.
On these issues. And we need to start doing better. We need to lead the way. If we're going to be the ones that are over the humans or the human part of our organizations, then we need to start acting like it. We need to be that. And there are going to be missteps. None of us are going to be perfect with it. And so we need to know that it's okay to make mistakes. What's not okay is not owning up to them and saying, wow, I was wrong.
Right.
I think the difficult thing, and again, I'm going to speak from the straight white male perspective here, because that's all I have, unless you want to talk about wrestling. But in, you know, interestingly enough, just had a situation recently where a friend misused pronouns, And I texted Wendy and I'm like, hey, I think I ought to say something, but I'm going to do it in private because it was not meant in any kind of malicious way. It was a mistake. But I think, unfortunately, so often, and I'm not indicting anybody in our community necessarily, but people are so quick, if they had picked up on that, that other straight white male could have very well gotten nailed for mm-hmm. something that was an honest mistake. So I said, hey, may want to, and they did. And they said, oh shit. Like I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I just said it. They fixed it. I know it. Wendy knows it. That person knows it. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad I did, because I have not off stepped up when I've had that opportunity. But I also wanted, I appreciate the fact that I could do it in a way that didn't put that person front and center, when again, it's a mistake. It was not, you know, if it was like this gentleman I'm dealing with today, there's probably a litany of things where you go, oh, that's just an asshole, and they're just, it's another thing. In this case, it wasn't. It was legit, and it was like, oh, mm-hmm. wow, I thank you. Like, thank you for helping me fix this. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I think that's part of it too, is we're all on a journey. And, you know, I talk about this with clients all the time, is we're all on a journey in our organization, whatever organization that is, but we're also on a personal journey of learning about some of these different things. And the more we can create awareness and help each other, the better off we're all going to be. And so that's exactly the critical piece. So, all right, what we like to do at the end of our episodes, and yes, time just flew, so I don't know how we're at time, but we are. I need to go get some ice cream, and so I'm going to need to wrap this up, folks. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Would love to hear, what's one thing you want to make sure folks heard during this episode, one thing for people to take away?
I think while we are tired, we are trying.
Yes.
We're trying to be better people. Yep. We're trying to get people better situated in their careers and their organizations. And don't let people on social media get you down.
That's like the quote of the day. Can we put that on a shirt? Because we are trying.
We can put it on our store, and we give all our profits to charity even. So I'll donate it.
I love that.
Perfect.
Because we are tired, but we are trying. We're trying. Beautiful. Yep. It's a Hallmark card.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Wendy, what you got?
I don't know. You know, that's kind of along the same lines that I was thinking, is, you know, we know better, so let's do better.
I like that the South Dakota just came out when she did that.
It did.
I don't know, you know.
Oh, you know.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Don't you know? There's a few times it comes out, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was awesome when I lived in Virginia, though, when you'd get the South Dakota with the Olawoods going.
Yes. Whole situation. That's awesome. Jackie, what you got?
Wait, I just have to tell this.
Okay.
But like, my kids are silly. And when they were little, we went to Canada and they were like, do they always talk about hockey? And we're like, no. And they're like, are they going to say a boot? And we're like, no, stop. We're going to get in the Uber. Be nice. They're not going to talk about coffee. So we get in the Uber and the first thing the guy goes is, oh, you're in from Oregon, eh? Or like, that's what they said. You say a lot. And my kids were like, oh, hee, hee, hee. And they were like, oh, what's that giggling about? And I was like, oh, no. And then he goes, do y'all watch hockey? The kids like fell out. Like, I totally tried to be, you know, that's a stereotype. We're going to be inclusive, whatever. That ruined it for me. Now they don't believe anything I say, but you know.
Did he call you hosers? That's the only thing that would make it better.
Hosers? Yeah, and Labatts. Isn't it Labatts? That was the only thing that was missing.
What was that movie?
Strange Brew.
Strange Brew.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Which is actually based on Macbeth.
If we did age ourselves by using Macbeth. Paper.
Elsinore Brewery, the whole story of the daughter and the dad. Yeah, it's Macbeth. Yeah, it's based on Macbeth.
Oh my gosh.
Mackenzie I'm Brothers.
Watch it again.
Yeah, I'm like, now I need to like go back and watch it.
Oh my gosh, I can't. I'm
if this gives you any indication about me as a teenager, So that was on VHS, for those of you who remember those. My friend's dad owned a video store in the early 90s, late 80s, and I rented that movie so often that her dad gave me the tape. He's just like, just keep it, kid. Because I love Bob and Doug McKenzie, and that movie is phenomenal.
Yes.
And
yes.
Actually, in high school English, we talked about how it was the whole tie into Macbeth. Yeah.
I wonder where you could find like that. So listeners, if you're under 40, really great movie. You should really go watch
Google
it.
Google it.
Yeah,
you'll enjoy it.
Google it. Always a win. Jackie, what you got? Let's wrap it up.
So
sister.
I think one of those things is like just community. Stick with like. Try to build your community and network using social media to do that. Mm-hmm. And reaching out to people that you think, you know, that you have similar backgrounds. And we have the ability to see, oh, you work in the same industry or in the same location, to just reach out, because you never know when you're going to need that network, especially now that we are not going out as much. I know people are saying, oh, we're leaving the house, but we're not. Not everybody's leaving as much. And so you're going to need that network. So I think that's really important.
Agreed. And I will kind of mirror that a little bit. Mine's slightly different, but it's the...
You cheat.
Every time.
She wants everybody to go, and then she'll be great.
You know what John said was really riveting, and I agree. And what Wendy said,
spot on. That's what I did. So it's all good.
For me, I think it's about your network and kind of building that group. But the second part of it is the making sure that you are kind to people, because you never know when they're going to be in a position of power in the future. And, you know, people have long memories. And so just making sure that you're being kind, and especially in our community, it's so critical because we are working very hard and we all are tired, and getting hate from your own community isn't awesome. So, all right. Well, I think we're all going to head out and go find some ice cream and some Yingling. We can't get it here, John, by the way. Yingling can't get it in Arizona.
Although while we were here, I did Google their ice cream, and they've got some awesome flavors I'm going to have to copy.
Oh my gotcha. Okay. So Wendy's got work to do.
I got some work to do. They have a black and tan. They have a butter beer.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Focus.
John, I think you're probably the only one who could actually buy that ice cream.
It's only in Pennsylvania, as far as I know. I don't think they distribute the ice cream, because again, same family, different family lines are connected.
But you're much closer than the rest of us.
I'm gonna be there in 2 weeks for work. I can try to find some.
Yes, let us know. We would like a full report. Our listeners need a full report as well. All right, well, thank you all for listening. Wendy, John, thank you so much for being here. We truly have enjoyed this conversation. And this is Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton.
Bye.
Bye.
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want.
I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts, or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.